Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the 6th chapter of John's gospel, verse 24 through verse 35. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So he said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it's written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from the heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends, when I was in college many, many, many years ago, one of the most exciting and exhilarating moments came when there was a knock on the door in my dorm room, followed by the words, "Minnick, you've got a call." Yes, I've got a call. Now, this is pre-cell phone days, you know. Calls used to be more significant than they are now. But anyway, I know it sounds ridiculous to many of you young folks, but it was marvelous. It was just stupendous. It was brilliant to get a call. In fact, I can still feel the excitement, the adrenaline-laced moment when with arms raised, I marched from my room, which I think was room 202 in Dawson Hall. I marched down to the anybody remember payphones here? Anybody ever use a payphone without wiping off the receiver? Okay, anyway, do not do that. I marched down to the hall. There was one payphone on each hall. It was in the middle where the stairs came up. And if a guy had answered the phone, it just hung there. The receiver just hung there. It suspended in midair. If one of the women from the other end of the hall had answered the phone, it was placed neatly on top of the phone. Anyway, that doesn't matter. Anyway, marched to the phone, located the receiver, talked in there, and it was at this moment, the whole world opened up for me. You know, limitless possibilities. Now remember, we did not have caller ID. Do you remember a time before caller ID? Some of you do. So in an act of total vulnerability, a cautious and inquisitive vocative, I begin a new and exciting journey with this word. Hello? Oh. Wow! Okay. Did you know that the word hello made its debut in the English language in 1833? The first occurrence of that word ever in English. Hello. Some have suggested that the old Saxon verb halan, which means to bring together or to gather things, is the root of that word. But it makes sense, but we'll move on. Have you ever heard someone say this? "That is my calling." Have you ever pointed to somebody and say, "That's their calling"? What do you mean by that? Well, let me tell you what I think you mean by that. I think you mean that that person, who they are at their very core, aligns with both all their gifts and talents and what they happen to be doing at that point in their life. you know, whether it be professionally or a hobby or something. It's their calling. Are you called to something? That's the question I want you to ponder today. To what are you called? Hold that thought. When someone begins the ordination process in the United Methodist Church, the path toward becoming a United Methodist clergy person, one of the first questions they are asked is this: tell us about your calling. Huh. Now, I have served up until just the end of June. I served on what's called the District Committee on Ordained Ministry for probably 5 or 6 years or more. And during that process, we meet with folks who are beginning the ordination journey. And our job is to help them determine if this is the right journey for them. This is what they should be doing or not. And we always ask them a question. We always say, tell us about the twofold nature of your call to ministry. And there's silence. Twofold call. And what we mean by that is that obviously they are responding to what they consider an internal call. They feel this is where they should be in their life at this point. But there's also what we call an external call. Has that inward call been confirmed by others or affirmed by others? Sometimes we're not on the path that maybe we should be on. And people are very quick to remind us of that. Now, let me give you an example of that. Jay, I do not think you're called to be a rock star. Jim, that hurt when they told me that. Jay, you're not called to be a professional tennis player. That hurt. And there's many, many more across the years. But anyway, you get the point. Are you called to something? Hold that thought. This week, I was struck by the words in Ephesians 4. Now, I've read these words many times across the years. I've heard them many times, but for some reason this week, they gave me pause. In verse 1, Paul writes this: I beg you, you know, it could be, I exhort you, I urge you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Now, I know curiosity killed the cat, but I had to know. I had to know. I went to my trusty Greek New Testament to see the words that were used in this verse. To lead a life. What were they translating? And so anyway, the New Revised Standard Version, what I read, that's a good translation. And I know I'm splitting hairs here, but the Greek literally reads, to walk around. I beg you, I urge you, I exhort you to walk around in a way that is worthy of the calling to which you have been called. I urge you to go about your life in this way, in your everyday life. And then Paul expands it a bit. He says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, in the Greek grammar, there's what we call the vocative case. You see it in other languages as well. And the case is the case of direct address. Do you remember Mark Antony's speech in Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, how it begins? Friends, Romans, countrymen. Direct address. That is the vocative case. Okay. Vocalize. That's the root of it. I'm talking to you. When you use a vocative, I'm addressing you. I am inviting you. I am calling you. A call is more than just notification. It is a summons of sort. You get called and you're expected to respond. Minnick, you've got a call. Now, I never, not one time, said, thanks, and just sat there. No, I moved. You know, I raced to the phone. You get a call, you respond, you go. Anybody remember the Yugos? It's a nostalgia. Okay, anyway, no. That's a car. You go, you move. Now, sometimes the calls were just general welfare checks for mom and dad. You know, son, how are you doing? How are things going? Do you need anything? And they were wonderful calls. But more often than not, most calls were of a different nature than this. Most of the time, any call that I received was at its core an invitation to something. Hey, Jay, let's go shoot some hoops. Jay, let's go get something to eat. Jay, blah, blah, blah. Friends, our lives are a collection of calls, consecutive calls, to which we are expected to respond. A collection of choices to make. Calls are invitations to enter into relationships. Come, be a part of our T-ball team. Come, be part of the Friends of the Zoo. Come, be part of the PTA. Come, be part of the workforce at such and such place. Come and be part of my life and marry me, you know. After the invitation, the call. After the invitation, the call comes, we respond. We enter into a relationship. And the idea behind it all is that these relationships enhance our life. Okay. Now, of course, we all know that in order for a relationship to be fruitful, like it's intended to be, all involved need to be faithful to the relationship and put in the requisite work. Okay. We have to be faithful to the invitation and to the calling in order for it to be life-enhancing. Friends, the fact that we are here with one another is an indication that we have been called. And we have responded to that call. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. We gather in this place, in this room, or the sanctuary in the coming days, because we have been called to this place. We have been called here week after week as we reflect on what that calling means. We all know how it works. We constantly and consistently rehearse our calling when we gather. For instance, if you are in the scouts, this is how it works. I think it's at the beginning of a meeting. What do? You hold up your hand, and what do you say? Any scouts here? I think you still do it. You call, or maybe the Girl Scouts. Do you have an oath?
Yes.
Come on. You need one if you don't have one. You state the oath. Why are we here? Maybe if you play on a team, you have like a challenge by the coach at the end of each practice, or maybe before each game. Maybe you have a song, a fight song or whatever. When I was in a fraternity, we had a song. We're going to move on. Maybe on the wall of your workplace, you have a mission statement. And periodically, you review that mission statement and you reflect on it. You know, maybe folks decide to renew their wedding vows or something. You rehearse it so you remember who you are and what the relationship means. So time and time again, we remind ourselves of our various calls. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. And he said to them, "Follow me." And they left everything, and they followed him. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? You are the light of the world. Friends, that is the life to which we have been called, to which we have responded. And it is in this place that our internal call, that feeling, this is where we need to be, is affirmed by a community that somehow encourages us to be with one another and to serve with one another. I beg you, Paul says, to walk around in a way that is worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Last week, we read John's version of the feeding of the multitude. The kids talked about that yesterday at Bible school. The only miracle story that occurs in all four Gospels. I said that last week. It's the only one. It's central to the Jesus story. So let me ask you this. Have you ever done the right thing for the wrong reason? Sure you have. Let me read you an example. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Not because you saw signs of something of great significance that endures, but rather because you got something to eat out of it." Walk around your life in a way that befits the calling to which you have been called. He called them and off they went. You know, one of the most satisfying moments of dorm life is getting, or was, not anymore evidently, getting a call. A call was personal. It was meaningful. And if it was long distance, remember long distance calls, anybody? Okay. If it was long distance, it was very rare because it was very expensive. Anyway, when you get a call, it is an amazing thing. But one of the most disheartening moments in college is when you come to your room and you realize that you missed a call. Have you ever missed an important call? You remember busy signals, anybody? That's a different metaphor. We're not going there. Okay. Last thing. Is there a relationship between call and purpose? I think so. You know, sometimes we get caught up in the routineness of our day-to-day lives and we get off script, off our life's script. Now, you know there's a script to your life. You know, there's a narrative that's unfolding before you. Now, not in some sort of mechanistic or deterministic or Calvinistic. Sorry, Ashley, Stephen. Calvinistic, anyway, never mind. Okay, forget it. But in a synchronistic way. Do you ever feel that your life is just out of sync? You know, someone else is driving the bus and you should be driving the bus? Okay. I caught a ride home my freshman year of college. I used to catch rides home. You didn't have a car, you know. Caught a ride home my freshman year of college. There were four or five of us crammed into a VW Dasher. Anybody remember that? Okay. Anyway. We were moving at a pretty excessive speed, four or five of us. That would have been okay on a clear day, but it was extremely dense fog, and we were flying. And I was in the back seat of this tiny little car, and I didn't know anybody else in the car, and I'm thinking, I got to get out of here. I had no control, but I got to get out of this car because we're going to hit something. I got to get out of here. I'm not going to tell you what happened in that car, but anyway. I beg you to walk around in a way that is worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Sometimes we need to change directions. Friends, the fall, as in the season of fall, is a perfect time to once again entertain the idea of being called to some deeper level of life than you or we are currently experiencing or currently practicing. So I invite you today to explore this idea with us here at Pleasant Grove in the coming weeks and months. Beginning the week of Labor Day, we're going to be offering a variety of experiences designed to push us a little bit. Things like Bible 101. Stay tuned. Coffee talk with, I'll do it. Coffee talk with Jay. Talking theology, talking the issues that of meaning that are pressing on your hearts. Thursday morning Bible studies, many outreach opportunities, small groups. You've heard about the music offerings. I want you to invite folks to be part of that, your neighbors, your friends. We're not going to proselytize them, but we probably not. We just want to have an open and candid discussion of the narrative, the call that has wound its way across time and culture down to 4415 Pleasant Grove Church Road. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a little unnerving, I'm afraid. But most importantly, it's going to offer us the chance to embrace the call anew. So I invite you to give it a try. No obligation to buy. Just give it a try. Thanks be to God. Amen.